Thank you for joining today's podcast. Today we are starting a new series entitled Discover Your Spiritual Gift. The purpose of this series is to help us all understand the importance of discovering, developing, and deploying the spiritual gifts God has given faithful believers so we can use those gifts to benefit the church and community. Our subject, once again, discovering your spiritual gift. Our text comes from Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you on today for one more opportunity to learn more of you. We ask right now that you will allow us to discover our spiritual gifts. Lord God, that you will decrease me and increase you, that your word will not return void, but that we will not leave this podcast the same way that we entered. We ask right now that you will open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that we don't even have room enough to be able to receive. In your precious and holy name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus while in prison. He was in prison for breaking the law because he preached the gospel of Jesus. Paul said, "Here's what I want you to do while I'm locked up as a prisoner for Jesus. I want you to get out there and walk, better yet, run on the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone wandering off down some path that goes nowhere. Make sure you do this with humility and discipline, not with anger or rage, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences, and quick at mending fences." Paul was setting the atmosphere for each of the Christ followers to use their gifts to bless others. In other words, Paul gave the how to get ready to fulfill your purpose speech by saying, get your mind right, stay away from distractions, be humble, be prepared and disciplined, be calm, be generous, be alert, be kind, be loving, be forgiving. Paul wanted Christ followers to start immediately. He pointed out several times that it's time to grow up and get up by using the analogy of a newborn baby. The conclusion was, when you have sufficiently prepared yourself, use the gifts God has given you. Saying it another way would be like Paul saying, after you have taken your shower in the morning, don't get back in the bed. How many of us get up on Monday morning and we take that shower and lay back down? It's time to go to work. Point number one, discover your spiritual gift. Paul said, you were all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction. So stay together, both physically and emotionally. You have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do must be done with this in mind. That doesn't mean you should all look and speak and act the same. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given a gift. Sometimes we think that we should all look, act, speak the same, but aren't you glad that Christ was generous to each and every one of us, and each of us was given a gift? Then Paul said he gave some people the gift to be an apostle, and some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some the gift to pastor, and to some he gave the gift to be a teacher. One thing about it, you don't have to be jealous of someone else's gift, because he gave us all a gift, and some he gave more than one. A spiritual gift is an endowment by God to his children to be used to benefit of the church and the community. Another way to look at a spiritual gift is like a father giving one of his children a brand new car. The car shouldn't just sit in the garage and be used for selfies. The car should be washed up, gassed up, oiled up, and ready to be driven to predetermined destinations. Now imagine if a father told his son or daughter that there was a gift in the garage, but the son or daughter decided to never go in the garage to see the gift. How many of you have a gift waiting on you in the garage that God has already placed there? The same can be said for believers with undiscovered spiritual gifts. We have an opportunity and responsibility to open the garage door. In other words, we have an opportunity and responsibility to discover the gift God has placed on the inside of us, because God desires to use that gift to bless you and others discover your spiritual gift. Point number two, how can you discover your spiritual gift? Paul said there should be no growth defects among us. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for our adversary. God wants us to grow up. Somebody say grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God and robust in love. The best understanding I have on how we can discover our spiritual gifts is twofold. First, understanding the intersection between A, the things we are most passionate about, B, the things we are most frustrated about, and C, the skills and ability we have. I want to use my brother as an example. He is a lawyer living in Chicago. His top three spiritual gifts are leadership, teaching, and evangelism. He uses his gift of leadership in the church and the community to organize and build things. He has led large groups of people in many different arenas. He even served as pastor of the House of God Church, Indianapolis, before I was appointed. Yep, he paved the way. He uses his teaching gift as a professor at a Chicago university and has used it as a former pastor explaining the Word of God in a way that is simple and clear. He also teaches businesses by consulting with them on how to be more efficient with their employees and clients. He uses the gift of evangelism to reach people for Christ. He once organized a church service with over 8,000 people in attendance in Chicago, Illinois. That might not be a lot for you, but that's a whole lot of people for me. 8,000. Those aren't just talents. Those are gifts given by the Holy Ghost to benefit the church and community. He discovered his spiritual gift and purpose in life by understanding A, the things he was most passionate about, helping people. B, the things he was most frustrated about, people that don't know how much God loves them. And C, using the skills and abilities he had, teaching, leading, reaching, and persuading. Finally, he also took an assessment, making sure the things revealed in your results have been affirmed over time. I took a test, and my gifts are administration, exhortation, faith, helps, mercy. Here's what that means for me. When I pastor, I use these gifts. Exhortation, to strengthen, comfort, or urge others to action through the written or spoken word and biblical truth. Helps, to work in a supportive role for the accomplishment of tasks in Christian ministry with the ability to often see the need before others do. Yes, the pastor doesn't always lead, but the pastor can also be a help. When I am serving my community as a business owner, I use these gifts. Administration, to organize multiple tasks and groups of people to accomplish these tasks. With my family, I use these gifts. Faith, to believe in God for unseen supernatural results in every arena of life. And when I think back over some things that man said was not so, but God said it would be so, I'm so glad that I had faith to believe in God for unseen supernatural results. Mercy, to feel empathy and to care for those who are hurting in any way. We will talk over the next few weeks about how to develop and deploy your spiritual gifts. But here is how many of you might be able to discover your spiritual gifts. You can actually go online, www.giftstest.com. I encourage you to take it between now and next week. Point three, why should you discover your spiritual gift? Paul said all gifts are given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Until we are all moving easy and in rhythm with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed inside and out, fully alive like Christ. I know some of you might be hesitant about going online to take the test to find out what your spiritual gifts are. But have you ever taken a personality test online to discover where you were? Were you conscientious? Were you one of those dominant personalities? Well, it's important to use these tools to also identify our spiritual gifts. Do you remember my early example of a father blessing one of his children with a car in the garage? I imagine that son or daughter opening the garage to see a new car that needs registration, insurance, gas, a car wash, etc. I imagine if that son or daughter was excited for the new car, but all they did with the car was take selfies and post online. A reasonable person would evaluate the situation and say that child isn't fully taking advantage of the opportunity they have. I remember when my grandfather bought me my first car. It was a Hyundai, and I can't even imagine how he would have felt if I never turned the car on, if I left the car parked and only used it as a backdrop to take pictures with. If the father wants that child to use the car for a specific purpose, like going to work, which was mine because I had a job at Condon's department store, then the father would say their child isn't being very responsible with their gift. In other words, the child wouldn't be fulfilling their purpose and the purpose of the gift by only taking pictures of a car in a garage. The same can be said with our undeveloped and undiscovered spiritual gifts. Too many Christian followers, like the new car sitting in the garage, have yet to discover and develop what God has given them because they are so fascinated with taking and posting pictures. In other words, it's not just enough to be a hearer of the Word of God, but we must also be a doer. God has given each of us the ability to be activated. Somebody say activate and use for His glory. Crank up, or as the Bible says, stir up your gift and let's get moving for the sake of the kingdom of God. Over the course of this series, I want to share some of what author Don Cousin extrapolated as definitions from Paul's list of spiritual gifts in the Bible. I want to share a few with you. Number one, administration is the gift to organize people, tasks, and events. Think about these as we go through this list. People with this gift develop strategies or plans to reach identified goals, formulating and act procedures that enhance the function of a church or organization to create order out of chaos. Can you think of someone in your congregation when everything is chaotic? They bring order to a situation. They have a spiritual gift. Assist ministries to become more efficient and effective. Administrators can coordinate a variety of activities, are usually team oriented, and often people that understand the big picture. 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Gifts come from God. Can you imagine how God will feel when the people He gave this gift to use it to build the kingdom of God? Don't squander your gift by not knowing that it even exists. In other words, imagine the possibilities for the church and community once people with this gift discover they have it. Number two, the apostleship gift and calling is one to start new churches and ministries. Anybody out there raising your hand right now that God has called you to plant churches, to put those seeds in the ground? People with this gift have a clear vision to plant churches, reach across cultural boundaries, are entrepreneurial, have a burning desire to reach people in other communities or countries. They are usually gifted leaders who influence others with their contagious enthusiasm. As I think through the members of the House of God Church, leaders across the entire country and even internationally, there are so many that come to mind right now of those that have the gift of planting churches. And God has placed in the church, first of all, once again, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. There's a gift that God has imagined for us. Can you imagine how God will feel when the people he gave the gift to use it to build the kingdom of God? Have you ever given somebody a gift? Maybe you gave them a shirt. Maybe you gave them a tie. And then you see them and they have that tie on. Don't you get excited? Don't you feel appreciated? God wants us to appreciate the gifts that he has given us. Number three, the gift of discernment is the divine ability to distinguish between truth and error, God, good and evil, right and wrong. People with this gift see through inaccuracies, discern motives, and identify the truth. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, is what the Bible says. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. Can you imagine how God will feel when the people he gave the gift to use it to build the kingdom of God? Imagine the possibilities for the church and the community once people with the gift discover they have it. The gift of encouragement is displayed by people that find themselves reassuring, strengthening, and affirming those who are wavering in their faith, going through hard times, or becoming discouraged. I know one young lady, Deaconess Anderson, Deaconess Hattie Ruth Anderson. She has that gift of encouragement. When you're having a bad day and you call her, you feel better when you hang up the phone. These people have a gift for speaking the truth in love and blessing others with their strong sense of concern. They are often sought out as counselors, are friendly, understanding, and personable. Romans 12, 6 through 8 said, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophecy is in accordance with your faith. It is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Can you imagine how God will feel when the people he gave the gift to use it to build the kingdom of God? The fifth gift is the gift of evangelism, is the ability to communicate the gospel to unbelievers so they respond in faith and move towards discipleship. People with this gift enjoy sharing their faith story and have a burning passion to reach others. They seek relationships with unbelievers, often move conversations to spiritual matters in a natural way, and encourage and challenge others to become fully devoted followers of Christ. This was my grandfather, the brother Charlie Swimp. He owned a barbershop, and even though he oftentimes was not able to always get to the church house, he turned the barbershop into a church house. He would evangelize to whoever came through the door, and while they might have come in wanting a haircut, there was some sin he cut off in their lives. And so I know that that was his gift, the gift of evangelism. He was able to communicate the gospel to unbelievers. They would walk in and he would tell them, open up that Bible over there, and began to minister unto them. There were tarry services that took place in the barbershop. So Christ, it said in Ephesians 4 and 11, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Once again, can you imagine how God will feel when the people he gave this gift to use it to build the kingdom of God? The possibilities for the church will be endless. Number six, the teaching gift is when the Holy Ghost has equipped a person to understand and communicate information so that others within the church learn and grow. People with this gift tend to enjoy researching and learning why things are true. These people also excel in finding ways to communicate what they have have learned to others. They are gifted in being able to present information and spiritual truth in exciting and engaging ways that challenge others. I have to say that Bishop Charlene Jameson, she is one of those that has the teaching gift. If you've ever sat and heard her explain the Word of God and break it down, you will know she has the gift of teaching. And 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, and God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Can you imagine how God will feel when the people he gave this gift to use it to build the kingdom of God? 7. The gift of leadership is a divine enablement to influence others to harmoniously accomplish the purposes of God. People with this gift cast vision, motivate others, present the big picture to others to see, model the values of ministry, take responsibility, and establish goals. Gifted leaders can make hard decisions in a timely manner and often see God-sized visions. I'm so grateful for our chief overseer. I'm so thankful for Bishop Rebecca W. Fletcher, who has the gift of leadership, who is able to influence others harmoniously to accomplish the purposes of God, and is often able to see that God-sized vision. Romans 12, 6 and 8 says we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Can you imagine how God will feel when the people he gave this gift to use it to build the kingdom of God? In other words, imagine the possibilities for the church and community once people with the gifts discover they have it. Like I said, there is a free spiritual gifts test online, giftstest.com. I encourage you to take it between now and next week. Next week, we will discuss how to develop the spiritual gifts that you have discovered. I heard a minister tell a story once about a woman in his congregation. She told him, "I've been involved in the children's ministry for 20 years, and you know what? I really don't like being around children." "What?" "But I realize that it is not appropriate for me as a Christian to ask whether I enjoy something." "What again?" "The important thing is to serve God." The minister went on to say that the children's program in that church was a disaster, that not only did the woman suffer, but the children suffered, the parents suffered, the pastor suffered, even God suffered. Our vision is to be a body where everyone uses their gifts to serve God, and that no one would suffer because you're using a gift that was not given to you, and you're doing it only because of guilt or a misguided sense of obligation. The body of Christ is finally starting to move from models that took the joy out of ministry, that led people to burnout because they were doing things they didn't enjoy, that made people feel like oppressed Christian servants. The idea is simple. Don't do something you don't enjoy and aren't good at for 20 years. God gives you gifts, and God calls you to use those gifts in ministry. It takes realizing who we are in Christ, not in ourselves, but we are something, and we have spiritual gifts in Christ. Let us pray. Lord, help us to discover our gifts, realize who we are in Christ, be bold in our gifts, be humble with our gifts, magnify you with our gifts, continue to heal this land and set the captive free. May your love abound and your spirit guide. Amen.